Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
Impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Wells.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind?
That just happened.
That's right, that's right. It is time for In This League right here on Sports Grid.
Get on the grid.
Super Bowl 54, or wait, you know, in media, Bogman, unless we paid the fee, the big game 54 is this weekend. It is Scott Bogman. I am Chris Welsh. We are on the heels of Super Bowl 54. We got a big show, lots of stuff. We have got Casey Bubba. I'm a little bit out of pocket. I'm only here for the first hour because I'm in the middle of a move and a craziness, but who do we have? We got John Lobb in hour two.
John Lobb in hour two. Casey Bubba hour three. We're talking about the Super Bowl. We're gonna. Everyone's going over these prop bets.
Yeah.
So we're gonna go over them too.
I like it. Bogman said that definitively. Like, yep, we're gonna do the same thing in all 3 hours. Welsh, if you like it or not, doesn't matter because we're doing it too. That is literally what Bogman meant when he said that.
It's actually not what I meant, but I guess it is what I said.
Yeah.
I didn't think about it that way, but yeah. I mean, we're gonna. All I'm saying is you and I are going to do the prop bets, then I'm going to get them from Lob and Bubba as well to see what they say. So
it's a big deal. I mean, whether you like the 49ers or not, it's a big deal. For me personally in my life, it's a huge, massive deal. I mean, I'm a bit blessed, I suppose, because five...
Hashtag blessed.
Hashtag blessed, man. Five of the six Super Bowl appearances in my life, I've been alive for the 49ers. So of those appearances for the 49ers, I've been alive for five of them. What I really remember is only two. I think there was one in 84 or five, and then the 89 and 90, I don't remember. Like, I don't remember watching them, but I will tell you.
You were 6 and 7, so it was probably past your bedtime.
My absolute entire life was growing up and listening to NFL films and watching 400 times about how Joe Montana's like, hey, look, there's John Candy. I mean, like, I know that those games in and out because of NFL films, but my real, like, first... like hardcore memory, I can still go through all of them, was the 49ers versus the Chargers, which, you know, Bogman will say that should have been the Steelers.
And
it should have been. I know. And the Niners absolutely mollywopped the Chargers, going back to some 90s lingo there.
One of my worst birthdays ever was when the Steelers lost the AFC Championship to the Chargers. And that would have been to go to Super Bowl 29 against the Niners. Niners looked real strong against the Chargers because the Chargers had no business being in the Super Bowl. It should have been the Steelers, but you know, you only go to the games that you only go if you win, and they choked that game away against the Chargers. And then they did go to the Super Bowl the next year and immediately lost to the Cowboys. So that was I've seen my Steelers in four Super Bowls and they've won two. So you know, beat the Cardinals and the Sea Chickens. And then lost to the Cowboys and the Packers, of course.
Last win was 2 days ago, 19. So what the hell is it? 25 years ago. That's ridiculous. I can remember 25 years back. 49ers, that was their last Super Bowl win, where they went 49-26 over the Chargers. Steve Young was the MVP. And that was in Florida, Bogman. That was interesting. That was in the Miami Gardens, Florida, where just so happens
This one is in Miami Gardens. That's a city, Florida. What do you think about that?
I mean, you know,
no correlation whatsoever. I get it.
25 years ago, I don't think it has any bearing on this game at all.
But are you sure?
Look, I'm into superstitions. I understand, which I think is why you're going to be heading over to my place this weekend to watch the game. That's still like the coin toss. Right?
I mean, literally, there could be a prop bet if I go or not, because it is a true 50-50. I mean, maybe usually means no, as we have talked about, but this is a true 50-50 situation. I had somebody the other day asking me, like, you know, oh man, you know, how's everything going? Are you excited for the Super Bowl? And I'm like, I just don't know, man. I haven't thought about it. Like, I'm literally, I mean, as you guys are listening to this, I have moved my entire home to another home. So, like, I don't have a chance to dissect and really think and get excited about the Super Bowl until Saturday night, or at best Sunday morning, you know, when this is all behind me. So I haven't even processed it. But, you know, I've said before, this is also like, this is stressful for me, because the idea of the disappointment lives heavy in me, and it shouldn't, but that's just my mentality. The disappointment lives really, really heavy in me if it were to be a second Super Bowl in the last 10 years that the Niners got to and they lost, because there's a lot of momentum on Kansas City. I mean, Kansas City was last in the Super Bowl, if I'm doing my stuff right, in 1970, where they beat the Minnesota Vikings 23-7. That was Super Bowl IV. Len Dawson was the Super Bowl MVP, and that was in New Orleans, 1970.
50 years ago. I mean,
Jesus.
It's been a while. They're excited. Of course they should be excited. But, I mean, look, I think the Niners are going to win this game. I said that to you as the Niners were beating the Packers. I told you that the Chiefs are going to be favored by 1.5 to 2.5 points. And the line opened up at the Kansas City -1.5. It hasn't changed. And I've stood by my pick. I'm sticking with your Niners. Now, do I want the Niners to win? Meh. I mean, I don't really want the Steelers to have their 6 Super Bowl record matched back-to-back years. You know, the Patriots and then the Niners. But maybe that would light a fire under somebody's ass in Pittsburgh. So, sure, let's go. Let's go, Niners. Tie the record so the Steelers have something to reach for, I guess, or something. I don't know here what's going to get them inspired. But maybe getting Ben Roethlisberger back. I mean, I saw an article from The Athletic the other day that said, should the Steelers ask Ben Roethlisberger to retire? And I was like,
What?
Why would anyone think that? Like, if something goes wrong with his rehab or something, maybe ask him to retire to get him off the books. But other than that, what are you talking about?
I mean,
did you watch Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges this year?
Isn't it
amazing? Not.
Isn't it amazing sometimes how, like, there's no filter on writing? Like, so, like, there should be something.
He's got nothing to talk about.
That's
the off season.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of words to what that is. Like, what are you talking about? Like, why are you even saying that? That doesn't make any sense. Why should they ask? It's a different situation if this was like the Patriots still had Jimmy Garoppolo and they're like, should Tom Brady? You know, they don't have anybody. You're not handing the reins over to Mason Rudolph.
No, they're not. You know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Racist, which, speaking of, Myles Garrett is meeting with Roger Goodell to discuss his indefinite suspension. So, hopefully we'll get some news on that at some point. I can't imagine that they suspend him into next year. So that should be over with. But let's get back on track here. Niners. Okay. So break down the game to me. What are you expecting to see? Give us a score. And how do you think the Niners come away with this game? And if you're writing the other side for the Chiefs, how do the Chiefs beat the Niners?
All right, so you want me to give you how the Niners beat the Chiefs or what I think is going to happen?
What you think is going to happen first, and then if the Chiefs were to win, how would that happen in your eyes?
Well, I think the line is still, what you're saying is tell me how the Niners are going to win, what the score is, and then how could the Chiefs win this one? Because I believe the line is it still 1.5? Do you happen to know?
1.5, yeah.
Okay, it's still 1.5. 54 is the over-under? All right, I mean, it's a big score. It's the 49ers are not, you know, they're not a team that can't put up, 30, 40 points. We saw it in New Orleans. We know they can put 30 points up. Ironically, and they just don't do it by the passing game. They're going to do it by the same way they have done it the entire season. And I'm not saying running the ball. I'm saying innovating the offense. It's almost cliche at this point that we know the 49ers use the most motion of any NFL team. I believe it's close to 75% of the time they've got pre-snap motion. And the idea behind that is to, A, just not give teams a proper idea or look at what's coming, but also to keep the defenses on the back of their heels. The 49ers have had such easy early success with the running game and holes, they just haven't had to deviate. I'm not saying that's not going to be the case with the Chiefs, but I think what you're going to see is you're going to see a lot more innovation in some of that pre-snap movement. I would bet this game has more 90% pre-snap movement, and I think you're going to see them open it up. You're going to see George Kittle involved in this. Debo is a constant in this one, and Raheem Mostert is going to still be involved, but the Chiefs' defense, I don't believe, is properly set up to stop what the 49ers are going to bring on all ends. Like, yes, they can only throw 70 yards in a game, but that's because they don't have to utilize Debo, Emmanuel Sanders, and George Kittle, underutilized weapons. And because that defense is so strong, I think this is about minimalizing a few, not going to do it all. The Chiefs are going to score some points, breaking news. They're going to score some points. Is that it's going to be about the 49ers having timely stops. It's going to be about them maximizing on every offensive possession. And if they get a lead, it's going to be inevitably trying not to let a pass heavy Chiefs offense, which that's what's going to happen. The Chiefs are going to have, they're not going to be able to establish the run what they want. They're going to have to move to the passing game. And the 49ers are going to have to be able to properly adjust on whatever early fixes the Chiefs have to a zone defense and Richard Sherman. So what I'm saying is I believe the 49ers have the complete tools to win this, even though they're a 1.5 dog. I believe the Niners are going to win and cover. On the Chiefs side, the way they win this game is going to be abusing one-on-one situations with Tyreek Hill into Richard Sherman. It's going to be the deep ball, and it's going to be Patrick Mahomes avoiding the rush. If the Niners can't get Nick Bosa to Patrick Mahomes, the Niners are going to be in a little bit of trouble, because the more time he gets, he's going to move around the pocket, and guys like Tyreek Hill are going to get open. I believe in the coverage of the 49ers on the front field, but the backfield, I worry about that. So it's big plays that are going to kill the 49ers, and that's where I'm worried about it, and that's how they win this game if they can't establish the run. So I think it's a 38-31 type of a game, somewhere in there. I don't remember what I said on the black book.
Yeah, I said 35-31 was my score, and I'm picking the Niners in that. I feel like this game is, obviously we all know that this game is going to depend on what the Chiefs offense can do against the Niners defense. That's the matchup that everybody wants to see here. And I think this game is going to hinge on the success of the short passing game for Kansas City. I think that because if you can pass short and you can get complete passes, eventually some of those guys are going to move up a little bit, and then you're going to be able to beat them on those big plays. So, it only takes two or three big plays to win a game. So I think that if Kansas City is having immediate success with short passes, the Niners might be in a little bit of trouble to start the game.
Yeah.
Now, we haven't seen the Chiefs do very much well to start a game the last two games. They've given up leads to Houston and then to Tennessee, and have had to come back to win. And they've been better when they kind of scrap the running game and just go straight to the passing game, because Mahomes is their best weapon on their team. So I think this game is going to depend on how many Mississippis Mahomes gets before he gets crunched that Niners defensive line.
It's what I'm worried about. It is what I'm worried about, because, like,
But that immediate pressure will force any quarterback into mistakes.
Yeah, but the problem Patrick Mahomes is he is maybe the best in the NFL about moving through the pocket and finding the open hole. And the Chiefs have 2 weeks to plan and look and focus and dissect the 49ers offense to try to find the holes. Because what's interesting about this, Boggs, is I'm not a coach and I'm not an NFL personnel person, and I haven't played, college football. So,
but
you
did stay at a Holiday Inn Express.
Far for me to say, but I would assume, and how I've kind of view this is, I think the Chiefs can be a little bit tunnel visioned. And I think in a good way that they can tunnel vision themselves to say, all right, the way we win this game is we have to expose the holes that that zone defense is going to do and try to get the one-on-one matchups because our guys can beat the corners on one-on-one matchups. It's true. It's an absolute true fact where I feel like the 49ers are, it's more all-encompassing. Like, I think the 49ers are looking to not beat themselves, where the Chiefs have a focal, a defensive focal point or an offensive focal point that they need to figure out to expose. And that alone can put them ahead on the 49ers if they do it. Especially the biggest worry here, maybe more than anything, would be is if the 49ers offense stalls and Garoppolo makes the mistakes that he can do from time to time. If the 49ers offense stalls, I think they're cooked.
Obviously, there's a whole other side of the ball, and you know the Niners offense has to be successful. But I think it's hard to say that they're going to be unsuccessful against the Chiefs defense, who, in my opinion, is not nearly as good as the Packers defense was this season. And the Niners just chewed up and spit out that entire Packers defense last 2 weeks ago. So I think if you can have that type of success against Green Bay, you can have that kind of success against Kansas City, regardless of what Frank Clark is running his mouth about. You know, obviously Chris Jones is not playing at 100%. And I think you're going to see the Niners run the ball a ton in this game. I don't think it's going to be quite as much as you saw in the NFC Championship, but they had the right idea. It's kind of the same formula to beat Kansas City that it was to beat Green Bay, because Green Bay's best weapon is Aaron Rodgers. So what do? You keep the ball out of his hands by running clock, keeping the ball on the ground and grinding out that clock and wearing down that defense. And then you can make big plays in the second half when you want to start passing the ball a little bit. And it's, you know, sometimes in today's NFL can be counterintuitive to where you have to short pass to be able to run the ball because you got to get the defense on their heels. Not in this game.
Yeah.
You got to run to be able to pass on the Chiefs. And I think that's what we're going to see. So it might be a little bit of a boring first half of grinding and running. And, you know, especially if the Chiefs offense isn't able to get anything going against the Niners defense.
You know what? If this is like a meme makeup prop bet. This is first play. I think the 49ers run. I think the first play the 49ers run in this game is play action. I think it's play action post to George Kittle. So I'm just calling that right now because everyone expects the 49ers to run. I think you keep them, you give them a first drive like, oh, this is altered, and then they are going to pound the ball. I do believe the run is going to be heavy, heavy in the first half. But guess what? We get to talk about props and some more. It is Super Bowl 54. We're on the heels of it. It's In This League. We'll be right back here on Sports Grid.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
I know how you're feeling right now.
Stop it. Don't do that.
I'm here for you.
Oh. In the league.
Welcome back. It's In This League live on Sports Grid. Get on the grid. Go to patreon.com/ITL Army today, and you're going to get a bunch of different perks. Now, if you go, well, no, you know what? I was about to say you could wait till February 1st. It is February 1st. I always forget about that. We are February 1st now. It is literally the perfect time to come and join up at patreon.com/ITL Army because it's the beginning of the month. Here are things that you get. You get our top 300 baseball ranks. There's Dynasty. There's top 500 prospects, whether you think it's too much or not. There are secret shows. Oh, doozy of our comedy secret shows. There's 69 of them, and 70 is going to be amazing. We have GroupMe rooms. We've got tons of other content. And really, you can get the best value is even just the $5 level. You're going to get secret shows and all of our ranks and, you know, access to some of the stuff we're going on. $5 a month. You can get in on all of that stuff. If you dig In This League, if you like our universe, come and support your boys right now at patreon.com/ITL Army. Big breaking news. The biggest football news of the weekend, Bogman. Uh-oh. Christine Michael, XFL.
Oh, he's finally going to break out. It's going to be with the St. Louis Battlehawks.
It's the dumbest names. The stupidest names.
It's been a joke in the ITL world that the Welsh gets really upset because people, for whatever reason, there have been Christine Michael truthers for the last 5 or 6 seasons. Everyone thinks, oh, it's finally his time. He's going to break out with the Seahawks. Never happened. He's going to break out with the Colts. Never happened. He's going to break out with whatever the F team he was with.
But here's how they sound. They go, I've written this article, and I want to tell you about Christine Michael is the player that you need to draft in all of your leagues because he's going to pay off. And 0 running backs because you can use waiver money on Christine Michael.
Have you ever, who's the player that you've been like that with? Who's the guy?
In football?
No, in any sport.
Oh, probably you're just a like, lot.
This guy is going to break out. Finally, it's going to happen.
That is a great year. Question. I wish I had had more time to think about it. Josh Gordon, probably. But he has done it. Like, when he actually plays, he's done it. But it's different. That's different.
That's true. He had one good year.
Yeah, it's a little bit different. I got it. I mean, I gave up. Maybe last year or mid last year, but I got the player who it was. It was Jeremy Hill. Jeremy Hill was 100% one of those guys.
Jeremy Hill had a decent year, though. I think he might have had a Pro Bowl year in there. Like, I don't know. Pro Bowl means anything, but
yeah, maybe. But Christine Michael was just, it always just made me laugh because, you know, the sleeper is kind of dead and people are always looking for the edge. And sometimes, you know, I mean, we talk about idiot articles of should the Steelers tell Ben to retire, but there's also like people that do it in fantasy and just to cover their bases. So because, you know, a fantasy analyst's favorite thing is to tell you I told you so. So what a lot of fantasy analysts will do,
like I did with Yu Darvish at the end of the year.
Well, we do it occasionally, but I mean, we're not, you know, free of this. But what everyone's favorite thing on the planet to do is to, they want to make sure they cover everybody so then that when the person gets an opportunity, they can quote tweet their article about, let me tell you about Jeff Janis. I've been talking about Jeff. So they just cover everybody. Like nobody's ever bad in their world unless they're high ADP in the top 40. But then they write about every single person. So the minute the opportunity is sniffed, they can start telling you and then they can be the guy that got ahead of it. But what never happens is does anybody ever own up to the amount of headspace they gave to talking about players like Kristen Michael and Jeff Janis. No.
Billy Burns.
Bogman. You got accountability. I don't care about that, but it's just nobody has headspace to then own how garbage it was. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm with you. So I think part of being a fantasy guy, at least someone that talks into a microphone and puts it out to the world, is, you know, it's not accountability necessary, but it's at least understanding where you went wrong, you know.
Yeah, sure.
And building it in. So, I think we take more than enough credit and you give me more than enough crap about Billy Burns, so where no one's going to forget. Billy, we make mistakes. Yeah. So.
Well, we have fun with all the things. Like I said, it's just more
annoying.
Let
me ask you this. Are you going to draft Josh Gordon in the last round of any of your drafts this year?
I have breaking news, official statement, out forever.
Out
on Josh
out
Gordon.
Out forever.
Out forever. Nothing can change that because nothing is changing with him. Nothing is ever going to change with that guy. He, you know, that old adage of just like, well, I'm not a former addict. I'm always an addict. That guy.
Fool me once.
Is
an
addict. And he will.
Shame on. He can't get fooled again.
He won't change. Like, maybe he'll change at some point. Maybe, you know, this 14th time is the thing. I don't care. It's embarrassing
this
how much
America,
I gave
the
him
Welsh,
the credit.
It's a land of 17th chances, all yeah. right? So you got
more chances
give
than cat lives.
17th chance, right?
That's yeah, stupid.
Want to do some prop bets here?
I want to do one thing real quick. Okay. And maybe I've kind of briefly talked about this, but I just wanted to get your take on it. So there's amazing analysis everywhere. You know, I was telling Bogman, you know, Roto-World's got this like Super Bowl manifesto. There's this big, huge article of a breakdown from Bill Barnwell over on ESPN. It's just like, you know, how the Niners will attack the Chiefs. And it's got like, you know, gifs of plays and they've got video breakdown and they go down to the player matchups. I mean, there's all of this stuff everywhere. But even though the Chiefs are a 1.5-point favorite in Super Bowl 54, I am doing nothing but reading smart analysts that have the 49ers winning this game. And it makes me feel uneasy. Like, I feel like there is there's a little bit, it's like the ghost. You ever, you know, walk into like a building that has history and you're just kind of like, you can kind of feel it. Like, there's this element that I acknowledge where it's like the Chiefs, it's 50 years. They haven't been in. They've got the best quarterback. Even though they're favored, the industry is almost treating them like an underdog. And they're the big, powerful offense. And there's a lot of people that it's that old Boston mentality where it's like, well, no, they haven't won in 50 years. They deserve it. I feel uncomfortable with how many analysts have picked the 49ers because it makes me feel like it's so weighted to them that the underdog is coming. And it's not coming out of any analysis or reason or anything like that. I'm just uncomfortable with, I was uncomfortable with how like every single person picked the 49ers against the Packers as well. When it's so definitive, I feel like it's a setup for failure.
I understand what you're talking about. The thing with this game, I find though, like when the Seahawks played the Broncos, right? You kind of went into that game knowing this game is going one way or the other. These teams do not adjust at all. Like, the Broncos hit you with that defense, and if it doesn't work, you're just going to smoke them. If it does work, they're going to beat the crap out of you. That's just how it goes. I feel like, and unfortunately, we've seen Kyle Shanahan on the bad side of this in the Super Bowl before. If you make adjustments, you can come back and win. So I think this is either going to be a like field goal, close last play game, or it's going to be the Chiefs winning like 42-3.
So you don't think the 49ers can walk away with this game? It's either it's close Niners win or Chiefs blowout.
I think that the Chiefs offense is too good that they'll at least start putting up points in the second half. Like, if there was another quarter of that Niners-Packers game, Niners would have been in trouble. Now, they don't play five quarters. They only play four, of course. But, you know, they kind of – the Packers kind of – started to realize what they could do against the Niners defense too late in the game to come back, of course. But I think the Niners need to get a lead and lean on it in this game to win. And I think that we're either going to see a really close game or a gigantic blowout. I don't think this is going to be a 10 to 17 point win either way. I think it's either going to be Chiefs blowout or Niners win by about 3 to 7, somewhere in that neighborhood.
And since 2010, there have been three Super Bowls that the score has been within 4 or less. So only 3 of the games since 2010 have been within 4 points. You had Super Bowl 46, which was the Giants over the Patriots 21-17. The Ravens beat the 49ers 34-31 in Super Bowl 47. And then in Super Bowl 49, the Patriots beat the Seahawks 28-24. Otherwise, you have had close to near double digit scoring in a majority of them, with last year's Super Bowl being,
since I said that, of course, it's going to be Niners by 13, right? So like that's going to be the end, or Chiefs by 16. Like it's going to be something in the middle of what I just said, because I said that. But I don't know, man. You know, I remember when people used to complain about the Super Bowl is always a blowout. But it hasn't been like that, I think, since like the 2000s. So because we used to watch the Cowboys smash the Bills, you know,
Niners, when they beat the Chargers, they beat the Chargers by 23 points. I mean, the Niners held, I don't know if it's still, I think it still holds.
It wasn't that close either, 23 points.
No. Well, the Niners hold the biggest blowout in 1990, 55-10 over the Denver Broncos. And then you saw, I mean, I'm looking at it. The Cowboys in 93 beat the Bills 52-17. They beat the Bills again 30-13. Still amazing, the Bills' 4 Super Bowl runs. And, you know, and like a little thing to add, I'm kind of jumping all over here, but just going back because I forgot about it, your comment on Kyle Shanahan. What I think is fascinating about these two teams is you have an Andy Reid coaching staff and just a coaching mentality that has been so far through the playoffs, made the mistakes to get knocked out, to not get there, who he doesn't have like the Super Bowl track record, but he has a playoff win it or you're done mentality more than most, not Belichick. And then Kyle Shanahan, who literally has the backbone of being in a Super Bowl, having a huge lead and letting it all go. Like, I think that type of tutelage to be able to walk into a Super Bowl, you know, holding the reins to a team, I think it's very valuable. But I don't think it's more of an advantage than what Andy Reid has done in his career. So you have just have two very, very prepared coaching staffs that are going to battle this one out. And it's literally, I'm not going to do the analogy because I always forget the immovable object versus the whatever.
unstoppable force.
And it's like
the immovable object.
Yeah, the immovable object is the 49ers and the unstoppable force is the Kansas City Chiefs. And someone is going to have to bend, you know, or someone's going to completely break. And
well, someone's going to break. I mean, and somebody's going to get a ring, though, either Andy Reid or Kyle Shanahan. So
I was trying to do the math, by the way, and I just kind of lost it a little bit. But I think I left off at, since Super Bowl one, forgive me because I don't have the exact number, because also I was like, is this guy a quarterback or not? I believe there's somewhere between 23 and 26 MVPs were not quarterbacks. All the rest were quarterbacks in Super Bowls. So 53 Super Bowls, essentially half have been quarterbacks and the other half have been side positional players. I got to tell you, dude, I feel like there's only two players that stick out of my brain, whether it is the Chiefs or the 49ers that win, that can win as non-quarterbacks the MVP. Can you guess who I think those two players are?
Tyreek Hill, Kelce, and Kittle.
No, actually none of those players. I think if the Chiefs win, it doesn't matter where, it's Patrick Mahomes. Even if Tyreek Hill has a huge blowout, 2 touchdowns, 180, I think it's Patrick Mahomes is the MVP under all circumstances for the Chiefs. For the 49ers, obviously Jimmy Garoppolo could play it. The two players that stand out that I think that could win Super Bowl MVP are Raheem Mostert, if he does what he did again, if the 49ers lean on him. Tevin Coleman, by the way, he did... He was limited in practice on Wednesday after that set. I don't know if you did you read the story about how he separated his shoulder and it was out for like 25 minutes after that game.
Yeah. I heard that he's had the torn labrum for a while too.
Yeah, but he's limited. There's a possibility he would be kind of a third option. Raheem Mostert is one of those guys that I think could get that if he was to get his, you know, 20 something carries and 180 yards and 2 or 3 touchdowns. The other one is, it's actually like a Nick Bosa. I think you could see, you know, if Nick Bosa gets to the quarterback, if Nick Bosa gets to the quarterback, dude, this is going to sway this game heavily to the 49ers. And I could see him, you know, pressuring into an interception, having a couple sacks, a couple quarterback hits. But outside of that, of those two players.
I don't know, man.
I mean, like, I know, like, a 100-yard interception could, you know, be the defining factor. Right. Otherwise, I think this is Patrick Mahomes or Jimmy Garoppolo.
Right. I mean, it's just, you know, we've seen crazy things. Remember when Malcolm Smith was the MVP? I mean, it's just that's something I hate. I hate betting on. I don't want to mess with any of that nonsense because, you know, someone trips into a pick six and, you know, they're all of a sudden the MVP, you know, and it's also not that surprising if you get a pick six to end up being the MVP. So, I mean, Dexter Jackson, remember, he was the Super Bowl MVP. And we don't see a lot of guys on the defensive side, but it hasn't been that long. Von Miller was Super Bowl 50. Was the last defensive MVP. So I could see it happening, but most years it's going to be the quarterback. I mean, you know, over since 2010, it's been Breeze, Rodgers, Flacco, Brady, Foles. So 6 of 10 seasons, you know, most likely it's going to be either Jimmy G or Patrick Mahomes, but we'll see, you know, something crazy happens. I love to see someone kind of no-named win the Super Bowl MVP, but it's not a rarity, but it's probably not going to happen.
Want a stat that doesn't mean anything?
Sure.
Since 1996, not counting this year, there have been 6 Super Bowls in Florida. All of those Super Bowls have been won by the AFC.
Huh.
The Super Bowl before that, in 1995, which was in Florida, the NFC won by the San Francisco 49ers. God dang right. But the last 6 Super Bowls in Florida have been won by AFC teams. Means absolutely nothing, literally, but I just, it's one of those things I was looking at and I'm like, wow.
Thank God, it's a lie.
It's a lie. I completely lied about it. The Saints beat the Colts. Unfactual. I am
unbelievable.
A lying liar. Five of the six Super Bowls in Florida.
By the way, I'm looking at Super Bowl MVPs by position: 29 quarterbacks, 7 running backs, 7 wideouts, 4 linebackers, 2 defensive ends, 2 safeties, 1 corner, 1 defensive tackle, and 1 kick returner.
Kick returner, Desmond Howard, baby.
Desmond Howard, that's right.
That's right, yeah. So wait, what position has never won it?
Kicker.
What position Connor. Has never won it?
No, I think every offensive line, that's it.
Did you say safety?
Yeah, safety.
Are they counting defensive back or are they counting safety or corner?
No. They counted safety and corner because only one corner has won it, and that was Larry Brown against Neil O'Donnell.
Ooh, how about this? What about a fullback?
You know what? Spurler alert here, but our guy John Lobb, I may or may not have recorded that before this. He may gush about a certain fullback on your team.
I love Kyle Juszczyk, and he could be a defining factor of this game. You could argue Larry Zonka.
No one can say his name, by the way. It's Juszczyk.
Juszczyk. Yeah, Juszczyk. Sorry. Juszczyk. Juice. The juice. The juice is loose. Juszczyk. Larry Zonka was more of a halfback, but you know, you can kind of consider him a fullback. But maybe Juszczyk could be the guy. All right. Now we're going to go to break. When we come back, Super Bowl prop bet time. That's right. We're going to do it. And you're going to get to compare the 3 hours and where the prop bets go. So don't go anywhere. It is Bogman. It is Welsh. We're in this league. We'll be right back.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the DailyRoto NHL DFS lineup optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using DailyRoto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
In this league.
I love you.
Ready to party.
All right, welcome back. Last segment of hour one. Last segment for little old me before Super Bowl 54. It is going down this weekend. I am high. hyped about it. I'm going to feel much better on Sunday while also having that anxious feeling. I am Chris Welsh. That is Scott Bogman. I mean, Bogman, you know, you guys have been to like 7 Super Bowls or whatever it is and won 6 of them. There's a anxiousness that follows playoff games, but Super Bowls?
Yeah, I mean, there's a knot in your stomach the night before. There's a knot in your stomach at kickoff. Your blood pressure's never been higher. And then whatever halftime is for your team is the longest, dumbest, most pointless halftime you've ever seen life.
Who is in the halftime? Is it like J-Lo and
Shakira and J-Lo?
Well, I mean
that sounds pretty good to me. Like, man, I'll enjoy it, but
there's
be like,
positives.
Can we just get to the kickoff? Can we just get
like
to the
45 minutes or something?
It's so long. Ugh. It's like a Quentin Tarantino movie. That's how it feels whenever your team is in the Super Bowl. That halftime could be the shortest halftime. It could be one commercial break and you're like, "Get it over with. Let's go. Let's kick off the ball. Come on."
Has there been any conversation about the commercials? I have not heard a single bit of hype, but to be fair, I'm also barely attached to the TV. Is there hype around commercials coming up?
No, I haven't heard any hype about the commercials. So, you know what? I did hear one thing. I heard that a guy paid $6 million to thank his vet for saving his dog's life in a commercial.
What?
That's I don't know if it's true.
I
saw it on Twitter today.
$6 million.
He paid $6 million for a 30-second commercial to thank his vet for saving his dog's life. That's what I read. I don't know if it's true. I saw it on Twitter today. I didn't dive into it. So
here's what I have here. Super Bowl commercials 2020. Watch all the ads released so far. So there's some that are going to be on there. Obviously, Trump. You're going to get blue. Did you see Michael Bloomberg try to shake the dog's face the other day?
Oh, my God. Yeah. I saw someone was like, is this his first interaction with the dog ever? What is he doing?
He's shaking a person's hand and this just beautiful lab or whatever is just looking at him. And he goes and he literally is like going to shake the dog's hand and then he just grabs the snout of the mouth of the dog and shakes
it. Like around his teeth too. It's the most awkward thing I think I've ever seen in my life.
All right. So there's
for me on the, in my stuff I've seen on the internet is pretty awkward.
There's a SodaStream. Now these are not commercials. That's speculation. Well, hold on. There's SodaStream, which is with Bill Nye. There's an Olay commercial with just people. I don't know who they are. An Amazon one with Ellen DeGeneres and Portia de Rossi, her wife. There's a Walmart Star Wars one. There's a Doritos Little Nas one. A TurboTax that looks stupid. There's a Pop-Tarts one that looks horrific. And there's a Kia one with Josh Jacobs. And then there looks like there's some other, I don't know, Heinz and nothing else looks interesting. Do you have speculative ads? Okay.
Yeah, here. Well, this is the one about the dog. And it says there's a picture of this golden retriever. It says this is from khak.com. It says tons of people watch the Super Bowl every year for the commercials. And this year you'll see something very different. Above is Scout, a golden retriever that's owned by David McNeil, the CEO of WeatherTech. The company makes products for pets, the home, and automotive accessories. More than a year ago, doctors found that Scout had an aggressive cancerous tumor on his heart. Things didn't look good. Veterans gave Scout a month to live and just a 1% chance of survival. McNeil told NBC 15 there he was in a little room standing in the corner and wagging his tail at me. I'm like, I'm not putting that dog down. There's just absolutely no way. He then sought the help of University of Wisconsin School of Medicine in Madison. Once in Madison, Scout was treated with radiation and chemotherapy. After a few weeks of treatment, the tumor was 22% of its original size, nearly gone. Scout appeared in WeatherTech's 2019 Super Bowl commercial. At the bottom of the story, this year, he'll be back with a very different message. It asks viewers to donate to cancer research in dogs. Cancer is the number one killer of aging dogs.
Yep, that would have been nice for me. Would have been nice for me to know last year with my dog. Little did I know, Bogman, what a fool. All I needed was $6 million in a Super Bowl commercial, and I could have probably saved my dog that I went through horrifically for last year.
Right. This is good for him.
Good for you.
This is crazy. Like,
what a waste of money. I mean, like, it's counterintuitive. Don't get me wrong. If everyone who knows me knows my plight with dogs, I love them. I went into hardcore debt trying to save my dog and going through cancer treatment and all of this stuff. And I lost both of my dogs last year. But the idea of spending $6 million on an ad to tell people to donate to dog cancer research, why don't you just put the money that you spent on the commercial to dog cancer research?
Right. Oh, and also, I love animals as well. But the article immediately under this one is $5,000 reward offered for missing Iowa teen. Like, I mean, there's a person missing and they're offering $5,000 for
it. There's just nothing.
But here's a
$6
million commercial for this guy because he got his dog saved.
I think I've hit the point in my life where I'm just annoyed by the Super Bowl commercials. Like, they're going to disappoint. Someone's going to do something. I'm telling you right now, someone's going to have an ad where we all sit and we look at ourselves and we're like, how in God's name did this get on the air? It's going to be, it'll be like Apple again being like, hey, remember all your family that died? We got you an iPad so you could look at all your dead family, Grandpa. And he's be like, oh God, kill me. Like, that's what, someone's going to do that again.
Look, the best one, and I cannot remember what company it was for. I think it was for some accounting firm that's, tits up now. But it was the herding cats. It was like these cowboys, and they had like lint rollers instead of lassos and stuff, and they were herding all these cats across the plains. It was
of course,
the
it's a cow. Well, of course, for you, it's a hilarious.
Well, yeah, okay, sure, but I think even target if I'm audience. Not a cat person, it's hilarious because there's just, you know, instead of cows roaming around the plains, it's just a bunch of dumb cats hanging out. Like, there's a couple sitting on the horse, like, you know, cleaning themselves. It's just a really funny commercial. It was out of nowhere.
I think if you put up a poll, I just hate to tell you, the one with the wiener dogs running through the fields, I think that would beat the cats running through the fields.
I don't even remember that one.
Yeah, there's a wiener dog one, which everybody just lost their mind about. But the commercial is going to be horrible. It sounds like we're off to a horrific start. And as I read ones that just got released in the last 24 hours, there's some, you know, Pepsi one or whatever with like Post Malone, like all the worst people on the planet are being featured in commercials. It's Lil Nas X, it's Post Malone, it's people we don't care about, and getting millions of dollars to star in ads that cost millions of dollars that frankly every single one of us would probably pay a $20 premium a month to just never have to watch another commercial again on live television.
Great.
It'd be great.
That'd be great.
We'd all pay it.
You know what I get really annoyed by? I get really annoyed by because Instagram is great at targeting ads when they target you with something you already have. Like, it's like, here's a Verizon commercial. I'm like, I have Verizon.
Yeah, I know.
I already pay for it. Why do I have to watch your commercial too? And then they have like the NBA Game Pass. I'm like, I have that. Stop trying to sell it to me. I already bought it. What are you doing?
I'm going to have to delete all my social media if the Niners lose. Do you know that? You do know that, right?
Yeah. I got my Netflix password stolen last night, by the way.
What?
Yeah, I just went to
like,
go watch Netflix.
Know?
Oh, I sent it to a recovery thing to my email, and it says, we don't have this email on file. And
really?
I was like, what? I had to call the 800 number.
So they changed your info?
Yeah. They changed my my email and all that stuff and deleted all my profiles on there.
Oh,
so.
What a scumbag. Could they fix it?
No, but whatever. It's fine.
That's annoying.
I got it switched and I changed it because the email is my old Yahoo email. So I got it switched to the correct one. And
the one that everybody knows now.
Yeah, sure. Great. I mean, whatever. Yeah,
all right.
Obviously, it doesn't matter. I got it stolen from the one that nobody knows.
Good point. That's a good point. Well, you know, Yahoo. I just got the Yahoo email today. Hey, about that settlement breach, how we gave all your info away. They're great, great company. All right, let's talk about it because we've only got 8 minutes here. Let's go through prop bets for Super Bowl 54, which I will be glued to. What do we got?
Will Demi Lovato complete the national anthem in less than 2 minutes?
Ooh, what was it? Was it 2:14 last year?
Yeah, and apparently she has been hitting it right around the 2:10 mark in practice. So,
we got some practice numbers too. So, yeah, and I got to say, she's coming off of I think she had a heroin overdose or something like that. She has some really horrible thing that she went through.
I have no clue who this is, by the way.
Oh, really? Yeah. Demi Lovato. I'm going to say.
Is there a song I would know?
I don't know any songs, but if you'll just know her. But yeah, it's going to drag. So I'm going to say no.
Heads or tails on the coin toss?
Always say heads.
Yeah, I'm going to go tails. Tails never fails. Will there be a score in the first 6.5 minutes?
Ooh, yes.
Yeah, I'm going to go with yes, too.
Ooh, I like that prop bet a lot because I think if the Niners come out quick, they're going to score quick. And I think even if the Chiefs get stopped, it's going to be a quick three and out with the air raid. And then the Niners come back in. So, yeah, I think that's an easy yes.
How will the first points be scored? Touchdown, field goal, safety.
I'm going to go touchdown.
I'll go field goal. Who will be what will be the jersey number of the first player to score a touchdown? You get to choose between 1 through 24 or 25 through 99.
Let's see. I'm trying to remember. What jersey is Raheem Mostert? 30. I'm going to go the 20. Is it 25?
25 to 99.
Yeah, I'll go 25 to 99.
I'll go 1 through 24 just to be contrarian.
But they're not counting the quarterback throwing the ball.
Nope.
It's like if somebody catches
it. No, it's in the end zone. The person who scores it, okay. Physically scores it.
All right, yeah.
Who will score first in the second quarter, Kansas City or San Francisco?
Ooh, San Francisco.
Yeah, I'll go San Francisco as well. Over under 26.5 points in the first half.
See, that is a tough one because I think the second half could be more explosive. I'm going to go over.
Over? All right, I'm going to go under. I'll just be contrarian here. Will the score ever be tied after it's 0-0?
Yes.
You know what? I'm going to go yes on that, too. I think a 7-7 or a 3-3 or 10-10, something.
Yeah.
Will the lead be over 14.5 by either team?
That is a great one. That is not something I would put money on. I'm going to say no.
I'm also going to say no on that. I think it's because I got the Niners winning and I already kind of broke it down. I think it's going to be a closer game. Will there be a touchdown in every quarter?
Ooh. I'm going to say no.
Yeah, me too. I'm going to go with no on that one. I, to be honest, I think the first quarter would be the one without a touchdown. I think everything else, you kind of start to loosen up, get into the game script and all that stuff. So I'll say no. Will there be at least one missed field goal in this game?
Yes.
Yeah.
Robbie Gold is still the quarterback.
So. Yeah, that's what I said. Gold and Butker. Yeah, I think so. Over under the shortest field goal. So will the shortest field goal be fewer than 27.5 yards or over?
Ooh, I'm going to say it's higher than 27.5.
Yeah, me too. Let's see, over 2.5 players with a pass attempt.
Ooh, over.
Over? Okay, absolutely. So you're thinking a trick play?
I'm thinking trick play.
I'm going to say under on that. I like the
call us
like
right now. Play. Raheem Mostert. Pass in this game.
It wouldn't it be a Debo pass? Come on.
It could be He's a Debo pass. Yeah, that's true.
They run the reverse with. So, I don't think backup quarterback. I'm going to say under. More receiving yards, Kelce or Kittle?
Kittle.
I'm going to say Kelce because I think they're going to be playing catch up. So, Kelce for me. Over under Jimmy G, 29.5 pass attempts.
Such a great one. Man, what has he averaged his last three games?
Well, he had nine in the last game, so.
I am going to, I'm going to say over.
Over? Okay, yeah. I'm going to go under. I think they want to establish that run.
I want to
I think it's
under.
Like 24, 23, somewhere in that neighborhood, not 30. Over, under, 30.5 rushing yards for Patrick Mahomes.
I'm going to say over because the linebackers are going to go in. The linebackers raid out as better coverage linebackers, so they're going to come out and there's a lot of blitz. So I think Mahomes is going to be getting some rushing yards.
I'm going to go under on that, not to be contrarian, but I don't think they want Mahomes running into the middle of the defense for the Niners because they don't want him to get smacked. So I'll say they probably have something saying don't run too much in this game. Over under longest touchdown of 47.5 yards.
Over.
Ooh, yeah, I'll go over too. Defensive or special teams touchdown.
That's a tough one. I'm going to say no.
No. Oh God.
It's fun to say yes. You want to say yes, but I think that also comes down to like what mistakes do you think are going down in this one?
You know what? I'm just going to say yes. I think it's two first-time quarterbacks in the Super Bowl. I mean, I know Jimmy G's been there, but he's never played in it. So I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say Mahomes or Jimmy G. Somebody throws a pick six in this game. Which team will score last?
49ers.
San Fran. You know what? I'll take San Francisco too. Total points, odd or even?
Ooh. I'm going to go odd.
Odd. Let's see. I'll go even because I said 35-31. That would make it.
Yeah, 60. I think I said 38-31. So it would be.
So, and then points. Nice. The very last pick that we have of the year, it is Kansas City minus 1.5 points, the Welsh, and 54.5 is the over. So you're taking Niners and the over, correct?
Niners and the over, friendos. I'm going down with the ship, and hopefully I'm going to be hopefully I'm on the podcast next week and the radio shows. If the Niners lose, see you guys in March.
That's just going to be it? You're going to hang them up for a month?
Going to hang it up for a month. Got to take a little bit of a break. I can't face the music. What about you? What's your pick?
Niners in the over, 35-31. I got San Francisco. So I think it's going to be a great Super Bowl. I hope you come over here. If you don't, you don't. You know, I can't force you. You might be too tired from your move. I understand moving is terrible. No one ever wants to do it. Yeah, so
I got a house, too. You can come on down to mine, too.
Yep.
Pass. Oh, look at that. Look at that. That's what I thought. So
won't happen.
Well, that's fine. Super Bowl 54. Going down, it's dedicated the rest of this show. John Lobb coming up, going to talk about some of the prop bets. Casey Bubba as well. We actually spent some in-face person time with Casey Bubba earlier in the week, so that was fun. Our boy. But you guys enjoy it. It's been an all-football episode because it is an all-Super Bowl time. My mentality and demeanor is going to be heavily affected by this. I know most of you won't, but I hope it's a great Super Bowl. Hope you guys enjoy it. And don't go anywhere. There's more in this league is coming up right after this.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.